In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our gospel reading, John, the first chapter. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what if someone you had never met, someone you had never seen before in your life, could tell you something about yourself, a secret, that you thought no one else in the world could ever or would ever possibly know? Would you be amazed? Perhaps some of you are thinking that you wouldn't, since we live in such a technologically driven age where everyone and their dog posts the most intimate details on all of the social media feeds, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Snapchat, and the like. But I'm not talking about something that you could learn and discover on the internet. I'm talking about something that only you know. Something that you've never posted or tweeted or told anyone before in your life. If someone could tell you that, would you be amazed? Nathanael is. In our gospel reading for today, we are told that Nathanael is approached by Philip, who is most likely his close friend. And just before this, Philip himself had encountered our Lord Jesus and in two words, changed his life. Follow me. And Philip became a disciple of our Lord Jesus. Immediately then, the narrative moves to Philip finding Nathanael. And when Philip finds Nathanael leaving Jesus' side, with excitement he proclaims, "We have found the one in that Moses in the law and the prophets spoke of, Jesus, the son of Joseph." Nathanael hears this, though, and he is skeptical. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" he says. "Nazareth isn't a great city. It's not a royal city. It's not known for its great leaders. It's not known for a world rulers or even a king at that time. It's not even the number one vacation destination. It's plain. It's ordinary. It's a small little town, much like our Lidgerwood. So how can the great, long-awaited Messiah be from there?" Philip replies, "Come and see." And as Philip and Nathanael are walking, behold, Jesus looks, he sees Nathanael and says, "Behold, an Israelite in need in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael is dumbfounded. "How is it that you know me?" Essentially, "I'm sorry, we've not met yet. How do you know me exactly?" But Jesus answers him, "Before Philip called you, while you were under that fig tree, I saw you." Now, we are not told what Nathanael's doing under the fig tree. Perhaps he's just simply sitting there and thinking and pondering something. More likely, though, given Scripture and the time of day, he's doing everything according to Jewish customs, as religious leaders had taught and encouraged everyone to do, which was to take your scriptures with you, find a quiet place, read, and pray to God. It's more than likely what's happening. In either case, Scripture does not say, but whatever it is, I can assure you this, it is deeply personal. It is deeply profound and intimate, because when Jesus says these words and these words ring out in Nathanael's ears, it causes inside of Nathanael faith to erupt and give voice in this way: "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus' words reveal him to be the King, God in the flesh, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom not one single secret is ever hid. He is the one who knows all things, sees all things, even the most intimate moments of your lives and the thoughts of your hearts. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing and terrifying. Terrifying because I know the thoughts of my own heart. I know the stuff deep down inside I try to suppress. I know what I try to hide. I know what I've never given voice to in my life. Words that I speak in my heart that would never cross my lips. Things that I have done and have never given voice to, because I know, like you know, if you gave words to your thoughts, if everyone knew your secrets and they were out in the open for all to hear and to see, then they would be disgusted. They would be repulsed and appalled by me and by you, as we would be of them. Jesus himself knows these very things. And in Mark chapter 7, he says, "It is out of the heart of men from which come evil thoughts." And then he gives you a bulleted list. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from deep down. All of these things come from within. And they are what make a person unclean. They are what defile a person. Those are a person's deepest, darkest sins. And Jesus also knows then not only your sin, not only the things in the world that you don't want anyone else to know about you, what you're thinking and what you've did, but rather he also knows that those are the very things that cut you off and separate you from God. He knows the darkness of your heart. He knows your sin, and he knows that heaven ought to be and is in and of itself closed to you as it is to me. We have not had access to live in God's presence face to face since the day when the woman took the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, gave it to her husband, who eagerly took it, ate some, and both fell into sin. Our sin has severed us from the presence of Christ, and the wages of that sin is death. And I'm not just talking about the death that some of you saw yesterday attending Elmer's funeral, or the death you watched on Facebook in that recording. I'm not talking about eyelids closing and hearts stopping beating and lungs ceasing to draw breath. That's a temporal death. I'm talking about what's greater. The eternal death when our Lord returns, and at the resurrection of all flesh, he raises each and every single person. And those who do not believe in him, those who dwell firmly in their sin, he says, "Depart from me, workers of iniquity, into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That's what we deserve. Heaven closed and separated from Christ forever. Cast into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Terrifying indeed. And also amazing that someone would ever know you that intimately. And that personally. Nathanael, quite frankly, he is amazed by this too. Because Jesus said to him, "Because I have said this, I saw you under the fig tree. You now believe? Or for us, you think that me knowing your deepest, darkest secrets that you don't want anyone else to know, and your thoughts that you try to hide and cover up, you think that is amazing? I tell you, that's only the beginning. You will see greater things than these," Jesus says. "You will see me open heaven, which once was closed for you. You will see me fling the gates wide open for you, as I promised your forefather Jacob there at Bethel in Genesis 28, when he slept on that rock and he saw that vision of a ladder stretching from that rock all the way up to heaven and the angels ascending and descending on it. Because I tell you this, that ladder and that bridge to heaven, the very way to heaven that which the angels ascended and descended on, I tell you, you will see the angels ascending and descending on me, the Son of Man. I am the bridge to heaven and earth. I have come to open heaven's doors for you, that you may enter into paradise once again with your God in his kingdom, with me that has no end. I will reconcile you to the Father, because I was sent here to be born of a woman, to be born under the law, to redeem you who are under the law, that you might receive adoption as sons. And I had your sins placed on me there in the waters of the Jordan River. that I might march here to the cross for you in love, so that you who are covered in your scarlet sins might be made whiter than snow, that though your sins are as crimson, thou they shall be as wool. I shall sprinkle you with the clean water of holy baptism, so that you may be free and clean. No longer separated from me, no longer cut off from me or the land of the living, corrupted and filled with sin. I will put a new heart in you, the one that you pray for every Sunday. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I will put my heart in you and I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. You shall be marked with my cross, and you shall cry out, Abba, Father, our Father. I will send my spirit into you that you may be joined to me. Or do you not know that all of you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You were joined to Jesus. You were united to him in his death. How will you not be united to him in his resurrection? For you see, you do not have a God of wrath who's only looking to punish you. You don't have a God of the dead. You have a God of mercy. You have a God of the living who has come to remind you even now here today that you live even though you die, that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet, you too shall stand with heaven opened and enter into the marriage feast of the Lamb when he comes again in glory. He will take you by the hand and he will say, arise and come with me. And you will enter into that kingdom where there is no sin, no death, no mourning, no illness, no crying, no health struggles, no pain, no death. That's Christ's promise to your forefather Jacob. It's the promise he made to you there in the waters of holy baptism, the promise he reiterates to you each and every week, the promise in which he came down into this world to fulfill. This is the revelation that Jesus is actually God for you. All hearts open, all desires known, no secrets hid. And this is given to you today. Yes, he knows all of your intimate moments of your life, but that's only the beginning. Come on now. It's only the second Sunday of Epiphany. Lent is coming. Good Friday and Easter. There you will see the greater things. For there you will see heaven opened forever for you and for your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.